Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to Wednesday. How we doing, Evan and Tiki on The Fan? We got a lot to do today. I want to start off by thanking the Barber Girls because they have completed the L. The beautiful, bedazzled L that will be worn by anybody on this show who needs to take an L. The inaugural L wearer will be Sean Morash, and we will have an L ceremony coming up here in the opening hour. So, I want to explain it this way. You're at a bar, your friends are drinking, and one of your friends says something that sounds so stupid.
Are you also drinking?
No, you're sober.
Okay.
Got it? So you're thinking level-headed.
It's a qualifier. It's an important qualifier.
No, you're right. Very important question.
Lamest guy at the bar.
Which is me, usually. So your
designated driver, Sean.
Fair.
Your friend says something that, on the surface, sounds crazy. And your initial reaction is to yell at him, mock him. Or your friend tweets something out, something like Tommy would do. And your initial reaction is to think, oh, come on, you're just hot-taking it. You're just giving a crazy opinion. But if you give something time and you talk about it, you realize, you know, that actually does make a lot of sense. So I would like to open the show with a statement. And that statement, I warn you, is going to sound crazy. It's going to be, oh, shut up, Evan. Well, you got nothing to talk about on a Wednesday in the middle of January. And then if we can, and I think you can, Teak, you're an intelligent,
yes,
well-thought-out guy, Sean a little bit less. If we discuss it in a calm, rational way, we will all agree that it makes absolute, complete sense.
Okay.
The statement I'm going to make is that Aaron Rodgers should be the quarterback of the New York Football Giants.
Oh, come on.
I know. Laugh. Get out of your system.
What the hell are you talking about?
Get it out of your system. You got it?
No way.
Okay.
That makes any sense to anybody.
Okay. So you're doing exactly what I set up. We're at the bar. You think your friend's an idiot.
No, you just set it up, and I just reacted just because.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's Aaron Rodgers.
Let it marinate.
Chance that he needs to be with the New York Football
Giants. Let it marinate in your head, okay? Now, I will explain why, and then, of course, you guys tell me. That does make a lot of sense.
Can I let it marinate?
Yeah, you're marinating it?
I'm in.
It was that quick.
You didn't even marinate it. You just let it sit on the surface.
It was that
quick.
That's
just a floater.
It didn't even reach.
You didn't even mix it into the rest of the drink.
It didn't even reach the plate. I stuffed it in my mouth. That's how much I'm in.
Why?
Because, Tiki, I'm basing this solely off what I heard from my owner, John Mara. And what my owner said was that his patience was wearing thin. My owner also said that he wants this team to identify a quarterback of the future. And you, sir, Tiki Barber, you,
yes,
sir, in a very heated debate that we had on Friday, you, sir, told me that rookies suck. And that you're going to need a veteran quarterback, which made me, and I got to be honest, it was the one conversation on this show that stuck with me for 48 hours. And I went back and forth. I tried to be open-minded. And I said, yep, why can't I have both?
Did you also layer another L on top of your thought process that
well,
day?
Well, it was a W with an L. Because I still think the Giants should identify a rookie in this draft. But I also think,
I agree with that.
I also think whether it's the top of the first round trading up or not, I don't think that they should do this where they're handing him a job like the Jets with Zach Wilson. And by the way, that includes Shedeur Sanders, whose whole life has been a golden platter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I think if you're trying to find and split the baby, as they say, on both things, the owner's patience wearing
right,
thin.
Because you need to win.
Yep.
And you don't need to go 12
right.
and 5.
No. You need to stabilize
but
this
you
thing.
Need to win in some capacity. Keep going.
And Tiki, I'm going to throw more Tiki barbarisms at you because I went through some of the guys are available. I can't believe Evan is doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Evan.
You're welcome.
Tiki, I'm going to give you two words. You tell me. Russell Wilson?
No.
Okay. Jameis Winston?
No.
Kirk Cousins after what we saw with his Achilles?
Nada.
Okay. So I'm just saying those would be the guys at the top of the list not named Aaron Rodgers that would fit the bill of patience wearing thin for John Mara. I actually think the best option for the Giants, veteran-wise, is Aaron Rodgers this offseason.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. I know that he can win now. He will be 2 years removed from an Achilles injury. He's 41, though. And
I know.
It's a hell of a deal. We'll figure that out, the money side of it. But it's complicated, obviously.
I don't think the money side will be complicated for you. It's complicated
right,
for the
right,
Jets.
Right.
But for the Giants and for anyone else that signs him, I don't think he's making mega money.
No, he's not, because it's all on the Jets right now. And look, can he still play? there were points at the end of the season where I started saying, man, he still got it.
Yeah.
He still looks like he's got the ability to make plays, to move, escape traffic, climb pockets, make throws down the field. I mean, two of his touchdowns last week were basically, I'm going to scramble, psych. No, I'm not. I'm throwing it in to whoever. I think one of them was Devontae Adams, and the other one was to Conklin for the 500th touchdown. So he still has the ability. But the thing I worry about is, what is he going to bring to the New York Giants? And I'm not talking about anything on the field. I'm talking about all of that other stuff. All of that Pat McAfee nonsense. I mean, that I feel like could be more harmful than good. And that's what worries me more than anything with the Giants.
Right, right.
And with a coach not like Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich, who just worshiped the ground that Aaron Rodgers walked on, Brian Daboll is not doing that. He is absolutely.
Does he want to have a job next year?
Of course he does. Okay, and that's why it's hard to weigh the merits of this.
Well, this is why what made this make sense more so today than a week ago is what John Mara said. I agree with Sean. John Mara told us on Monday they better win next year. That's what he told us.
Yeah. Well, he technically said I better be in a much better mood than I am right now and next year.
And Evan, not to interrupt you, but I will. In that spot, I think this is much different than 2 years ago when Aaron Rodgers came to the Jets and what John Mara said. I don't think anybody's going, yes, Giants back to the playoffs. Yes, NFC championship game. I think the idea of adding Aaron Rodgers would be this team just won 3 games. They need to not be a laughingstock.
Right, all right.
So, and they need to stabilize.
Okay, so you've thought this through, Sean.
Yes.
In the last 7 minutes, he said he did it.
He did it after I crushed him in that.
But were you thinking about Rodgers in particular when you were thinking about what Tiki crushed you on?
I had a conversation with somebody else last night about it. No, nobody related. Just another Giant fan about this.
Okay.
I had no idea you wanted to do the show with this. It was just my own thought process.
So, what's in it for Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, that's easy. That's an easy one.
Not a lot of homes to play in next year.
Well, I think there's a couple of things that would make Aaron Rodgers say yes. Aaron Rodgers has glowingly talked about his time with the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. And we even talked about it last week. Like, why is he talking so glowingly about the Jets?
Okay.
And a part of it's the people in the organization. But the other part is kind of a simple one. He likes it here. For all the crap the state of New Jersey and New York gets, Aaron Rodgers liked living here.
New Jersey is great, by the way.
Yeah.
You guys who've never been over there, mostly all of you all in this room and that one on the other side of the glass, New Jersey is phenomenal.
Well, I'm putting New Jersey over right now. Like, I believe genuinely Aaron Rodgers enjoyed his living experience over the last 2 years.
Well, especially when your house has a backyard that overlooks New York City, but you're 25 miles away from New York City.
Right. No, it's absolutely perfect.
I'll give Jersey this pop, too, last night, Evan.
Yeah.
After I got off that train, I had to pump gas with the wind howling.
Yeah, right.
Hands were frozen.
These are the days where New Jersey wins that battle. But I genuinely think Aaron Rodgers, when he said he was happy about the 2 years here, a lot of it is living here and being here. And I think that if the Jets say no, and look, that's been a lot of the discussion over the last few days. What are the Jets going to do about Aaron Rodgers? It is more likely than not they're going to move on from him. And if they move on from him, I think he would look at not selling his house and staying in the same area as, hey, that's kind of cool.
Well,
do I really want to rip it all up and move to Nashville?
I think he has multiple houses, including the big one he has in California.
But you know what I mean.
And by the way, prayers and thoughts to everyone out in California.
Oh, God,
not even forest fires, whatever they are. They're just random
wildfires.
Wildfires that are everywhere. And they're moving fast. So prayers to those people out there. I could never, ever live in California.
Amen.
Period. But my point is, he might like living in New Jersey. I lived in the city my entire time when I was playing. I didn't realize how great New Jersey was until I moved there.
Right.
And it's your space, there's stuff to do, that you're easily accessible into the city. And when he talked about, I liked my time here, I think that's what he was talking about.
I completely
about.
Agree.
It had nothing to do with the football, because clearly the football was bad.
And that's why I think the Giants would be an appealing destination to him. And as Sean pointed out, I don't think he's going to have like a laundry list of choices. And where this makes so much sense for the New York Giants is twofold, okay? One is winning in the short term. It's the same argument Jet fans have been making the last few days, which is which quarterback gives them the best chance to win. And I've even said that as someone that's not as in favor of bringing Aaron Rodgers back. He would give them the best chance to win. So it works the same for the Giants. He would give them the best chance of winning next year, while simultaneously, you can draft your quarterback and have him sit. which, by the way, the Giants have done the two previous times they've taken quarterbacks in the first round. Eli didn't play right away. Daniel Jones didn't play right away. Now, would this be very uncomfortable week eight if you're telling Aaron Rodgers you're sitting him? Sure. But maybe it doesn't come to that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, hopefully, if Aaron Rodgers is healthy and playing like he did for the latter part, last three or four games of this season for the Jets, you're not worried about Jackson Dart. Let's say you take him in the second round or whatever.
Or even one of the first round picks, even Shedeur Sanders. Right. Sean's right. He should sit for a year.
I don't want to take one of those guys now. I don't want to take Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders because it puts pressure on whoever you bring in as your veteran backup. Because we saw this. I mean, I live this with Eli Manning, who wasn't ready to be the starting quarterback. Now, ultimately, it worked out because it put him in positions to learn everything and to, through failure, grow into a guy who the very next year won 10 games and got us to the postseason. And then 2 years subsequent to that, he won a Super Bowl, right? So it worked. But it's just that won't work for this coming season for the New York Giants.
Why?
Because if you bench Aaron Rodgers and he's What was Kurt Warner? 5-4?
5-4.
5-4 at that point?
I think the difference is you don't bench Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback for a year.
Right.
He gives you the best chance to win while a kid sits.
There's going to be pressure to play the young guy.
Not if Aaron's playing well and they're winning.
That was the difference. See, that's the thing. The Falcons just went through this, and Cousins wasn't playing well.
Exactly.
So they went through that, and they were still good enough that they were in the playoff until the very end.
It gives you the chance to get the best of both worlds, which is John Mara, without saying it, put an edict on Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, they better win. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers gives you the best chance to win, while you're also developing your young quarterback by having them sit. And as far as Aaron Rodgers being okay with that, Aaron Rodgers is not going to get his menu of choices.
Right, and
here.
He also said this. He said he'd be fine. Not necessarily fine, but he'd be okay being the I don't know, whatever.
The mentor.
Yeah, the mentor. Yeah. The guy in waiting is going to have to, you know, wait for me, but he said he'd be okay with that.
And you know what's great
and
about
it's
this?
So different than when he was in Green Bay and he wasn't ready for that because he was at a different part in his career.
Right, but
he's winning MVPs.
The best part of Aaron Rodgers being the veteran who starts right away as opposed to Kirk Cousins or name the other veteran is that you know because of Aaron's age, this is a year or two and that's it.
That's
it's
exactly
not
it.
As if, like, if Kirk Cousins is your guy and you start Kirk Cousins ahead of Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, maybe Jackson Dart or someone you take in the second round, and Kirk plays really well, it creates this, all right, well, what about next year? In Aaron Rodgers' case, he's 42 years old.
Right.
This is a one-year thing where you try to win while developing the young quarterback behind you. If you take away Giant fans, listen to me right now, if you take away the name, if you take away the controversies and the emotional feelings he gives you.
You can't take away the controversies.
Yes, you can.
How? Because you know they're going to come again in some capacity.
Or is it the Jets who brought the controversy?
I think both did. That is the one thing that gives me pause. I don't think Tiki's wrong about that. The only thing I would say is it feels like, perceptually, Daboll and Shane are going to be on the hot seat this year. So
from week one.
From week one. So if it does combust with Aaron Rodgers, this whole thing does flame out, likely without a better option than Aaron Rodgers, which there isn't, they could end up in that same end result anyway. So at least I'm swinging for a stable as, you know, it's not the perfect scenario, but you might end up at the same end result with or without Aaron Rodgers.
What is the perfect scenario? What is the perfect scenario?
Perfect scenario is they win 8 games, he looks old, and you hand the baton to a quarterback after the year.
Yeah, you're talking about for the season, what's the scenario, the perfect scenario? The perfect scenario is that whoever the quarterback is looks capable and wins games, and Dabes finds a way, and Joe Shane, obviously, he's got to have a good offseason with the draft and with free agency to gain the long-term confidence of John Mara. So it's not a year-to-year proposition.
Okay.
Because it's hard to coach like that.
No doubt. And it's not even fair to be in that spot. But as we sit here today, January 8th, we still have months before the draft. We've got a few months before free agency. What's the perfect situation at the quarterback position? And if you take the names out, isn't having a veteran quarterback who gives you the best chance to win in the short term?
It's necessary.
While letting a young quarterback learn and wait without the pressures of starting right away, isn't that the best case scenario?
Yeah, let's get to the next complication. How do you get Aaron Rodgers if you're the New York Giants?
Oh, that's
because
simple.
He currently is under contract from the New York Jets. And what if the New York Jets happen to be listening on this, what day is this, Wednesday? Wednesday, January 8th, 2025, to WFAN Afternoon Drive. And they hear us talking about this. Like, oh, that's actually a pretty good idea. What if the Giants do call? we're going to rake him over the coals to get Aaron
No, Rodgers. I would not do this via trade. What I would do is I would wait. And I am banking on the fact that the Jets and Aaron Rodgers are going to divorce. That is the likeliest outcome. They have a coaching search going on right now.
But then you're waiting for your plan A, because this is, let's say this is the Giants' plan A. You're waiting for your plan A, not really having a plan B.
Well, no, hold on a second. Your plan A will be able to be executed before free agency. The Aaron Rodgers decision will be taken care of long before free agency starts. Mm-hmm. So this is not a rush. Like, we're going to know about the Jets and Aaron Rodgers very, very soon. And look, for Jet fans, it's a separate debate. We've had it. We've all had it. Should they bring him back? Should they not bring him back? I think that no matter what side you're on, you'd admit the likeliest scenario is they're going to divorce. And if they divorce and he's a free agent who wants to play football, there's not a long list of teams that make sense for Aaron Rodgers. And I'm here to tell you the Giants make a ton of sense. And they make a ton of sense for a lot of the reasons we laid out. John Mara said, I better be in a better mood next year. You're in a better mood if you win. Most Giant fans want a good young quarterback to draft. Sure. But it's also smart to not play them right away.
Right.
So that's why the Rodgers rookie marriage is perfect. It's actually perfect. It's actually the most ideal scenario one can think of. I defy you to tell me a better scenario.
Theoretically, it is perfect because there isn't a better option.
Bingo.
Because I've been looking through the veteran free agent quarterbacks. I mean, ever since we started talking about this a couple weeks ago, there just isn't anyone that's jumping out and saying, yep, I want that guy.
Right.
Maybe Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, come on.
Maybe.
But maybe Jacoby Brissett?
But not because he's a winner, but only because he's used to being in the spot. You
but
know
Tiki,
what I mean?
Tiki, yes,
and
you're right.
And he's 32 years old.
But no, here's why I agree with you, but you're wrong in this respect. If this was a normal situation, I would completely agree. Like for the Jets, hey, I'm nurturing the young quarterback. The Giants have to win. The owner said that.
Yeah, no,
Jacoby
you're right.
Brissett doesn't give me a chance of winning.
No, you're right.
So yeah, I disagree. Right. Brissett's not a good option.
But by the way, that's my point. Who else is there?
Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Stop it. Aaron Rodgers.
You're right.
Keep throwing names at me. You will lose every time.
Aaron Rodgers is not available right now.
He will be.
You hope that he is available.
If he's available, would you sign him? Do you agree he's the best option? I think it's becoming obvious. I don't think... I defy anybody.
Cooper Rush.
Come on!
I mean...
Rush!
Cooper Rush won some games.
Tiki.
Former Giant, too.
Exactly.
Tiki. Cooper Rush and a young quarterback. Kirk Cousins and a young quarterback. Justin Fields and a young quarterback. Tommy DeVito, shut your mouth over there, and a young quarterback. Dude, it is so obviously Aaron Rodgers if you can strip away the emotions you have.
How about anybody but Aaron Rodgers? What's one of the biggest issues that the Jets are... First of all, Devontae Adams comes along with him and his buddies. They alienated Garrett Wilson. I have a great idea. Let's bring in a quarterback to alienate Malik Nabers. Adams gets the ball all the time.
I think there's two things you got to keep in mind. The New York Jets...
That's the drama that I'm talking about.
Locker room division.
It's just unpredictable. I'm not saying it's going to happen. And again, I don't even think Aaron intends for these things to happen. It just does.
But here's why I think respectfully you guys are wrong about this. The Jets allowed that to happen. The New York Giants and any other team that signs him, they lay down the law. They're in a position of power here. They don't have to beg for Aaron Rodgers. So if you're Joe Shane, you say, here's the deal. We'd love to have you as the quarterback. We're even going to guarantee you the whole year. We really want Shedeur Sanders to sit for the whole year.
Right.
Or you know, barring you play terribly, obviously card subject to change. But as long as you're playing well and winning, you're going to play.
By the way, he played through for 3,600 yards. No,
like, right.
28 touchdowns.
There was never a point this year where he should have been benched, despite what Woody Johnson thought.
And there's two other things to bring up. One has already been mentioned early this week, which was, has anybody looked at the Giants' opponents next year? Aaron Rodgers in a mental chess match versus Mahomes, Herbert, all that over a rookie or over Cooper Rush next year is going to help this team have chances in these games.
On Sunday afternoons, it is clearly the best option. I just think there are like B and C and D points that aren't as clearly obvious as the best option. You know, does that make sense?
No.
Right. On paper,
yes.
Starting on a Sunday afternoon, who the hell doesn't want Aaron Rodgers? But it's all the stuff leading up to it. It's the potential drama. It's the stupid Pat McAfee nonsense. It's the passive aggressiveness. It's all this other stuff. It's the relationship between Dave's, who takes no you know what, and Aaron Rodgers. I just worry that it could get derailed before we ever get to Sunday.
Think about it. and strip away the emotion. The New York Giants have to win next year. You'd like to develop a young quarterback. How do you do both at the same time? The answer is right in front of us, even if off the top it sounds crazy. Aaron Rodgers makes sense on the New York Giants. We'll get to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. I am putting the finishing touches on a speech that I will read, or maybe I'll hand it to Lugie to read since my voice kind of hurts, in which Sean Morash will be honored by wearing the L for the very first time in Evan and Tiki history. This was an idea that came to us about a week ago, that when you get something so wrong, and the other three of us agree that it was so wrong that you really need to take your L, we decided to create an L. So I bought an L off of Amazon, handed that L to Tiki Barber, who handed that L to his wife and daughters, and they bedazzled and decorated said L. And then Tiki performed surgery earlier today, putting a string through it, a rope through it, so that that L can be worn. And later today, Sean Morash will inaugurally wear the L. And the reason he's wearing that L, in case you're not familiar, is that he claimed an idea was his. Mm-hmm. It was actually a caller's, denied it, and agreed that if we could provide audio evidence that he did steal the idea from the caller, because the caller had it first on our show, Sean would wear the L for an entire show.
Yes, and Lugie did his sleuthery.
Yes.
And went and found caller's call, and it was perfectly matched.
It was perfectly matched.
The idea that he posited or presented was that somebody, including the Giants, should hire someone like me or Carl Banks to become the general manager and trade for Dan Campbell.
Yes, it was trading for Dan Campbell, yes. So the three of us agreed that he needs to wear the L, and that's the official rule around here. It can't just be two of us or one of us. So later today, and I just finished the speech, I have a whole speech I'm going to write for this ceremony, Sean will wear the beautiful L, which we will debut. I'll tell you the exact time so you can kind of set your watches at exactly 2:45. All right, so in the next 15 minutes, you're going to come in here, and we will present that L, and you will wear it for the remainder of the show.
That's it? One show?
Yes. Did we agree to a show? Was it a week?
It was.
It may have been a week, actually.
I think it was a show.
Lugie, as the arbiter of facts, was it a show or for the entire week?
The entire week.
It was the entire week. And you know what? If you guys are okay with this, it's already Wednesday. I think if he does today, Thursday, and Friday, that would qualify as the entire week. I'm good with that if you guys are.
Yeah, that's good. Unless somebody else deserves the L, then you get it taken from me.
There you go. Unless someone else earns the L.
Right.
It's like an immunity idol.
Yeah.
So you have an opt-out of
yes.
the L.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
So you'd be smart, Sean, to pick a fight with somebody and get them to take the L.
Exactly. So that's coming up in exactly 15 minutes. But we get to your calls. The statement sounds weird off the top, but when you really think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Aaron Rodgers, if and when he's released by the New York Jets, makes perfect sense for the New York Giants. They need to win next year. They need a bridge to the future. He gives them the best chance to win. Get past the bluster of the name Aaron Rodgers, and you'll soon realize it's their best option.
And the other probably most important thing is that the Giants, other than Tommy DeVito, do not have a quarterback on their roster.
Correct, which means they do not have a quarterback on their roster. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free number. George in Manhattan. How are you, George?
What's up, George?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Evan, nice idea. And I thought of you, Tiki, as well, because this situation happened with Tom Coughlin and Eli, right?
In 2004. And originally they had asked Kerry Collins to do it, and Kerry Collins says he didn't want to do that, so they gave him his release, or I think they traded, whatever they did. He ended up somewhere else, and they brought in Kurt Warner. You're absolutely right.
And Kurt actually did a nice job. I think you guys were, had a winning record when...
Yeah, we were 5-4.
Tom decided to go to Eli. Yeah,
we were 5-8. Yeah. But the difference is, at that point, everybody, after the greatest show on turf that in St. Louis with the Rams, he had won a Super Bowl, went to another one, I think, and didn't. Whatever, they won that one Super Bowl. He was thought of as this great player, but was done.
Right.
Everybody thought Kurt Warner was done at that point, and so it was kind of just a kind of similar situation, to be honest with you. End of your career, clearly
right.
Not as long or storied as Aaron Rodgers is currently, but. It felt like, end of your career, mentor Eli, and at some point you're just going to hand it over and it'll all be good. Kurt Warner left the Giants and went and took the Arizona Cardinals to
the Super Bowl.
Right. And had probably two or three good, really good years out there after the Giants. But that situation, it was great in retrospect. In real time, it was hard. Right? Because there were a lot of veterans on that on those teams, those, that 04 team, that just we just lost a lot.
Can I tell you the big difference, though, that will make you feel better, I think? Eli Manning was more ready to start in the NFL
no
than either of the kids the Giants end up drafting.
100%.
And Aaron Rodgers is certainly better and coming off a better year than Kurt Warner was in his last two seasons of starting with the St. Louis Rams.
Right.
So I think what you do that's so different than the Eli Manning-Kurt Warner situation is you look at Aaron Rodgers in the eyes and say, if you play well, you're going to play the whole year.
Yeah.
Right. This kid should sit for an entire season. This should be the Patrick Mahomes plan that Dave Gettleman talked about when he first came here.
You know, it's interesting. So Eli's journey is exactly the reason that you play hard at the end of seasons when you have a young team or a young quarterback and you try to make something happen. You try to win the game, even if it hurts you draft-wise. Because like we've forgotten that this is the littlest part of it, the beginning of his story. Like that last win that he had against the Dallas Cowboys, it was like everything clicked all in one game. Now, it had built up to that point, as we probably don't remember because we were losing games, but it had built up to the point where in that Dallas game, it was like, man, this kid's got it, right? We just knew it. And he let us down in the two-minute drive, and we scored a winning touchdown, and it carried into the following year. And we won 10 games that next year. And obviously, we lost in the playoffs to the Carolina Panthers, which sucked. But, I mean, that matters a lot with young quarterbacks. And so, like, a lot of these teams, they start talking about tanking when you got young quarterback. You just can't do it, man.
Carolina this year, Tiki.
Carolina is the... If I had to pick a team that's going to surprise the hell out of everybody next year, it would be the Carolina Panthers for that exact reason, yep. Sean. You're exactly right. Because Dave Canales wouldn't allow that to happen. It wasn't, let's position ourselves for the best draft next year, and we can add to what we've already started to build. No, screw that, man. Win. Winning means something, especially for young quarterbacks.
Mike is in Elmont. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you for taking my call. I actually agree with you. I was thinking about that the other day myself, about bringing Rodgers in if it was possible. But I don't think – do you think they're really going to draft the core? I think they should just draft Travis Hunter if they do and get the weapons and take a shot for the year. And honestly, I called them maybe a year ago, and I think they're still in the back of the Mara's mind. They want Manning, the young Manning.
Arch,
and I think that would be a perfect – yeah, that would be a perfect situation to, like, you know, have it roll over. I don't really like the two quarterbacks coming out this year, and I think it would be better off to just get Hunter and just take a shot. We got neighbors. We got Hunter. If Rodgers has a great year,
Mike, I agree with
back,
you. I agree with you.
If the
situation doesn't allow, so I don't want to trade up. I don't want to give assets, future draft picks, etc., to go get either one of Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. But if the situation just you're sitting there at three, take Travis Hunter. And if you're gonna fill out your quarterback room, there are other developmental quarterbacks in this draft that could be really good.
I think you guys are half right. Because he mentioned, you bring in Aaron Rodgers, you draft Travis Hunter, you try to win, and you go after Arch Manning a year from now. You're not equipped to get Arch Manning
because
you guys will be good. So you have to make a more difficult decision. And you know what that is?
What's that?
You don't draft Travis Hunter. You trade back. And you collect a lot of assets for 2026 draft stock.
So if you are just a little at average or whatever.
You're equipped to trade up.
Yeah.
It works sometimes. It doesn't work sometimes. Who's trading up to three to get Travis Hunter to get a quarterback? We'll see. Well, can you get a first-round pick from next year and hope that that team stinks enough where it turns into what happened in Chicago, where high pick?
But would it matter? Because somebody takes – so you now have two first-round draft picks.
Well, I would take what I would do is if I'm trading back with Travis Hunter, thinking about Arch Manning, is I'd get a later pick this year, but then a first-round pick next year I would be using as a chip to potentially trade back up.
So what I'm saying is then next year you have your first round.
Correct.
And in someone else's first round, that should be enough to get you, right?
Depending.
First-rounders and
I think it depends where you're picking.
And
so,
if you really are in, give the 2027 first-round pick.
You're not factoring in something, though, Evan.
No, but quickly, I'll give you a great example. The Raiders are the team to trade up. They trade you next year's number one, and then they suck.
Yeah.
And that number one pick turns into a top three or four pick.
All right.
You are much more equipped to then get Arch Manning.
Okay, so now you mentioned the Raiders. We're talking about the quarterbacks off the board and somebody's trading up for Travis Hunter. Is that what we're saying?
Either one. I mean, okay. If you're picking three in a valuable spot, you're either getting one of the two big quarterbacks or you're getting Travis Hunter.
Okay, so I'm operating under the assumption the quarterbacks are going and the Giants are on the board for Hunter.
Yes.
If a team is willing to trade a first rounder for Hunter, I don't think that's the Bears-Carolina trade because I'm assuming that team thinks they are another good player away, and I don't think you're going to luck into a top five pick with
that
pick. And I also think...
No, you're probably right.
And look, who knows? There's a lot of rumors Arch Manning may not even come out next year. There's going to be quarterbacks at the top of the draft. You know, if a team is bad enough for that quarterback hunger, I think it's going to become harder and harder when you're up there to trade up with that ammo. So, to me, Giants don't have enough good players. Last time they did this trade-back scenario, they didn't take Micah Parsons because they got jumped, and they ended up with Kadarius Toney and then Evan Neal at the
end. By the way, you're not wrong. It just means eliminate Arch Manning from your mind then because it's not going to happen.
I have eliminated. Yeah,
that's just a hypothetical scenario if you want Arch Manning.
To me, if I have a chance to get the best player in the draft, then we don't have enough best players in drafts. Give me the best player.
I get that.
I agree. Fred, take the best player.
Fred is calling from Smithtown. What's going on today, Fred?
What's up, Fred?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it. That last caller kind of stole my thunder a bit. You know, can we have a quarterback that's a game manager that don't turn the ball over? I mean, that's all we really need. None of the big teams really have replaced their Hall of Fame quarterbacks if you look around the league.
No, you're right.
Okay, so
it's all you. If you have a good
I'm not mad. I'm not upset with my team for not finding a quarterback. I'm more upset with them for not staying in the Giant coaching tree. And that's, to me, is where the team went downfall. We had Sean Payton. We could have got him.
Yeah, but that
you know, we had Coughlin. We had Fossil. We had the tree.
Right. That was that.
But I called up. That was unfortunate. I called up for the quarterback. So, listen, get this stud from Arizona, this wide receiver. Line him up with neighbors. I like Tracy. I think the offensive line is decent. Okay? And let's get a gunslinger then. I mean, you're going to laugh me off the radio. Andy Dalton. I mean, get a guy who could throw the ball downfield. He had some magic with Johnson. And other than that, do what you got to do to get Cousins. Is Rodgers the guy that's going to mentor a quarterback, though? Does he have that attitude?
I don't know. He said he would.
How'd he do with Jordan Love?
He wasn't willing to with Jordan Love.
I think eventually he was towards the end.
And Jordan Love turned out to be pretty damn good.
Yeah. I think at first he was bothered by what they did, but
he was bothered
eventually
because he just won an MVP.
Sure, but
and
he learned
draft a quarterback to replace him.
But my point is, do we give him some credit for mentoring Jordan Love? Or are we just going to just throw it out?
No, I think we should.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. So when he says, "What can he mentor a young quarterback?" I think there's some evidence that he can.
Yeah, and when you watch Jordan Love, you see a lot of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
like the way he throws the ball, his mannerisms, his way he adjusts at the line of scrimmage. So there clearly was some thought in the mentoring process there. But I mean, none of this is ideal. None of this is going to work out exactly as we talk it through. But the Giants need an option. They need, I think, multiple options at quarterback because there's nobody in that room right now.
Well, he mentions Andy Dalton. Aaron Rodgers is a better version of Andy Dalton, a much better version. They're both old. I mean, Andy's 37, not quite 41, 42, but he's an older guy who hasn't been a full-time starter in this league in years. You know, he's gotten starts over the years in Dallas and in Chicago and New Orleans, but for the most part, he hasn't been that starter in a decade. So he's your typical veteran backup. We're talking about something bigger because the owner 2 days ago basically said they better win. Aaron Rodgers gives you a better chance to win than Andy Dalton. And that makes me feel terrible because I'm obviously a big fan of the Red Rifle.
Yeah, and I think there's another part of this that really needs to be explored, Tiki, and something you won't care about that I care about greatly.
Go ahead.
Boy, it would be great for Aaron to finish his story and get back to the playoffs in New York with the Giants and watch all the Jet fans go, are you kidding me?
That would happen.
Are you kidding me?
That would bother me.
That would actually be unbelievable. Yeah. And by the way, I think it could happen. Because let's face it, year one, he was hurt. Year two, he was also hurt for a lot of the season. He could not move early in this year. We watched the games. We talked about him. At the end of the year, we said it on this show. God, he looked actually healthy. This is the first, week 12. He finally looked like he was a healthy player, and he started producing. Now, they still didn't win. That's just because of other breakdowns in the team and bad coaching, et cetera. But like, Aaron Rodgers actually started to look good at the end. And so if he carries that, gets even more healthy, and then comes to the New York Giants and wins, how pissed off are Jet fans? I mean, that's the ultimate troll for, I think, the next decade.
Oh, you're laughing over there.
I mean, you're the one that brought this up, Evan.
I brought it up as an IFO. You are now laughing like a troll. Has Sean and Loogie rubbed off on you?
No, they have not. It's just an interesting It's, I don't know. Maybe I'm upset because I was at MetLife Stadium on Monday and it's Jet stuff was still all over.
Oh, yeah, it was all over. More on that later. More on Tiki at MetLife Stadium a little bit later on in the program.
Who are you calling a moron?
I'm not calling anybody a moron. All I'm advising everyone to do is to find out more about Tiki later. I advise you to escuche to our radio program. I'll leave it at that.
Escuche.
Yeah, escuche like to that. Our radio program.
That means to listen.
Yeah, to listen. Yeah,
I thought that was snails.
That's just cargo.
Oh.
You are smiling quite a bit about what this would do to Jet fans, and I admit that. I admit that. Like, if this all happened and the Giants sign Aaron Rodgers, they draft a young backup or a young kid to develop.
Right. By the way, this is not anywhere. This is pure speculation.
Well, Sean's telling me Giant Twitter's starting to love it. So this is like a Giant Twitter pipe dream now. So yeah, you people are all over it now.
You people are.
Which I didn't realize.
This is the best part. You people, being Giants fans, would not behave and not act with the same bravado Jets fans did when they added Aaron Rodgers. This would just be more...
Well, you can't.
No.
Because of the recent... track record right. of Aaron Rodgers, it's not going to be like, yes, we're going to the Super Bowl. It's going to be like, damn, just play healthy, dude. Right. Get us some W's.
Yeah, it just stabilizes us, man. Well, that's it.
But to your point, that's the difference. It's a different situation.
Yes.
When the Jets brought in Aaron Rodgers, they're coming off a 7-win year in which we thought, wow, we're a quarterback away. Mm-hmm. I don't think Giant fans think they're a quarterback away. So it's not that you guys are more humble, Sean. It's that it's a unique situation. Now, if you guys win and, dare I say, make the playoffs, it will bother me. It will bother me more than the Giants normally making the playoffs, which it usually doesn't, because I don't mind the Giants. And I do think that you guys would spike the football quite a bit. There'd be a lot of, he's won more games with the Giants than the Jets. There'd be a lot of that. And I understand that. That's a negative for me as a Jet fan. Now, I'm not going to base my decision on what the Jets should do on where he may go. That's a loser mentality. But I'll admit, if you guys brought him in and had success, it'd be very troublesome.
Evan Roberts, February 2026. The Buffalo Bills and Aaron Rodgers and the Giants in a Super Bowl. Where you at?
He's going to be there because if the Giants are there, we're doing our show.
Yeah, I'll be there. And Sean McDermott's coaching the Bills. Evan, where you at?
I'll be rooting for the Giants.
All right.
I'll be rooting for the Giants.
You'd be rooting hard for the Jets.
I would be. No, I admit that. All right, come on in here, Sean. We have to have a ceremony, and we'll get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. There's a lot to do on this very busy Evan and Tiki program. So I wrote a speech, and my voice is really hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do, Tiki, is I'm going to hand you the speech.
Excellent.
And you can read this as I put the L on Sean Marash. A little background. It's kind of a new thing we're going to do around here. When we're wrong about something, when we deserve to take an L, we're going to have to wear an L, which I'm holding up right now. Can you describe it to our radio audience?
The L has, it's redlined. It has a rope chain. It has blue and white stripes down the middle of it, bedazzled by Tracy Johnson and Brooklyn and Tegan Barber, and roped by me.
Put the rope on. He roped it.
I MacGyvered that rope onto that thing, and it actually looks pretty dope.
He roped it after he roped his family into bedazzling it.
Very nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we gather to acknowledge an unfortunate yet undeniably entertaining moment in the world of sports broadcasting. Our good friend, Sean Morash, always quick with a joke and eager to bring his unique brand of analysis to the airwaves, has found himself in an unexpected position where he needs to wear the first ever L. Let's take a deeper dive into the meaning of the word L that Sean Morash now has become synonymous with. In sports, the L is traditionally seen as a symbol of a loss, a moment of defeat. But today, it represents something more nuanced than simply the aftermath of the game. Sean's L is not just a marker of failure, but a sign of accountability. For that, you deserve a round of applause.
Yay!
Oh, thanks.
A moment where we, as fans and followers of the game, remind ourselves that even the most seasoned professionals, like Sean, can slip up. The truth is, in any field, we all make mistakes, whether it's misjudging a play, forgetting a detail, or yes, taking a caller's idea and making it your own. No one is immune from the occasional misstep. But the L also signifies the opportunity for growth.
Yes.
When we wear the L, it doesn't just hang around our necks like a scarlet letter. It is an invitation to learn. L for learn, to own our actions and to be better moving forward. For Sean, this moment, it's a reminder that is a fast-paced world in sports talk radio. Creativity and originality are not just important, they are vital. Absolutely vital. But it's also a lesson in humility. Because as much as we love the loud, confident opinions that he brings to our airways every day, right here on WFAN, 888-808-1019, it is essential to remember that the voices of the fans, those that are calling in, those that are spending their precious minutes dialing 808-1019 to talk to us, these callers are offering their insights, and they are just as invaluable as ours. By wearing this L today, Sean, you acknowledge that there's always room for growth, always room to do better, and it's not a moment to hide from or shy away from. It is a badge of honor in its own way, signaling a chance to rise, to reset, and to come back even stronger. The L isn't just a loss. It's a learning experience. It's a call to stay authentic. Stay humble, Sean. And remember that even in the loudest, most opinionated world of sports talk radio, we're all just people. Sometimes we make mistakes, but we have to correct them, and we have to move forward. So here's to Sean. You are now being presented with the inaugural L. Wear it, my friend, with pride. May it serve as a reminder to all of us that sometimes the biggest victories come not in our successes, but in how we handle our losses.
That's the key line right there. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Morash.
Sean Morash.
Is that wearing the L, ladies and gentlemen?
Sean Morash.
I'm going to take a selfie so that we have this record forever, okay?
And then I got a favor to ask a Tiki.
Now let's all pause. All right,
here we go.
They're taking a selfie right now. Tiki, Evan, and Sean.
Tiki, real quickly, as long as I'm wearing the L, could you just reread the first line of this speech that went on and on and on?
Ladies and gentlemen, today we gather to acknowledge an unfortunate yet undeniably entertaining moment in the world of sports broadcasting. Our good friend, Sean Morash, always quick with a joke.
And don't want to light up a smoke? Where would you rather be?
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Sean. Do you have something to say? Would you like to say something?
Yeah, I mean, speech.
Would you like to give a speech?
Look great with that L, by the way.
Yeah, I'll wear the L as long as I have to, but Cecil, I didn't take the idea from you. Get more original, pal.
You did take the idea from him. You know he's on hold right now.
Great, let him talk.
You want to hear from him? This is the same Cecil, right, Tommy?
Just making sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, the caller whose idea Sean stole and led to this inaugural L is Cecil in Franklin Square. How you doing, Cecil?
Cecil.
I love this. Thank you, Evan. Tommy, love it. Sean, thank you for making my day, man.
Thank you, Cecil. Thank you for taking my idea, man.
that was all for you, Cecil. Yes.
It is. Guys, could you just send me a selfie if you don't mind?
Yes.
I want that picture.
I'm going to tweet that out in a minute, and we'll get it to you if you don't have social media, all right?
Yeah, I do. Thank you so much. But, Sean, thank you for wearing the L. But, unfortunately, we don't have to worry about going down with that idea. could I say something?
Yes, go ahead.
While Sean wears that L proudly.
Of course.
Is that I think Sean's got a good point. Evan, you got a good point with this Aaron Rodgers idea. The first caller kind of stole the thunder with the Kurt Warner, Eli Manning situation.
Right.
Could be similar to this. I just want to backtrack a little bit. I'm thinking Brian Daboll and George Stein have more than next year. I think this whole plan was hatched the year after they made the playoffs with Daniel Jones, where they have made an agreement with John Mara, saying, if you want to keep Daniel Jones, we don't want to keep him, but if you want to keep him, you're going to give this on the other side of this. If this goes wrong, this is what we want on the other side of it.
I mean, you'll never get an admission of that,
but it's not a
bad thought. Like, we know that the Maras love Daniel Jones. He actually was like the perfect follow for Eli because he was the same kind of personality. But he was bigger and athletic, and you felt like it's just going to be Eli, you know, plus. And it just didn't work out. And they gave him every opportunity to make it work. And ultimately, Dave's in the middle of the season. He pulled the plug, and it was hard. Like, I was there. I was at the building the day that happened. It was a rough day, not just for Dave's and the team, but the emotions of it for everybody was rough. By the way, something just came to my mind after we just did that L ceremony. We need to quit this.
What, radio?
Yeah, I need to run for politics, and you need to be my speechwriter.
You got it.
Yes, that was amazing.
I wrote that speech all by myself, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Oh, my God.
Well, whoever AI you used.
That was a great example of ChatGPT, and it shows you how dangerous that can be. So I wrote in, hey, make a speech about the inaugural L, and I explained it, and then I tweaked it. So it isn't fully AI,
right?
Because there were certain things like, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
So I changed things, but it was mostly an AI speech. And I got to tell you, it was brilliant. My only self-critique would be it lasted a little bit too long.
A little bit?
No,
that's what I'm saying. That's what politics is all about.
It is true.
You gave a much too long speech.
Yeah, much too long speech. You're right. More on Aaron Rodgers to the Giants and why it makes complete, utter sense. Plus, is Bill Belichick really ditching his new college job to go back to the NFL?
Already.
We've got more details on that.